Welcome to Winning the Global Talent War, a podcast about how leaders around the world are approaching global talent acquisition. I'm Jonathan Romley, CEO and co-founder of Lundy. My guest today is Tony Jamuz, CEO and founder of Oyster. Tony is a truly global citizen and has experienced the trials and tribulations of relocating for better opportunities, as well as for entrepreneurship. He is on a mission to create a more equal world. So let's dive in. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jonathan. Thanks for having me here.
Where in the world are you today?
I'm currently in London. I came here from Cyprus, where I live, for my first in-person physical meeting where I was speaking. And to be honest, I'm not sure if I'm more afraid of public speaking or catching COVID.
The first time we spoke, you were not living in Cyprus. Why did you move?
So essentially, we really wanted with our family to leave cities. We decided we don't need anymore to live in urban areas. And we were looking for a place that was compatible with the UK system, because in case we made a mistake, we can always come back here. The options you have are Ireland, UAE, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Cyprus. And Cyprus stood out because of its beautiful nature, because of its low density, because of its amazing weather, 300 plus days of sun a year. And it's completely compatible with the UK system. Everybody speaks English. You have English schools. You drive on the same side of the road. You have the same tax system, the same law. So it was a no-brainer.
The first time I visited Cyprus, my flight arrived at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was sure that my rental car did not have a steering wheel. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, okay, you moved to Cyprus and you are originally from Lebanon. How often do you go back?
So I have my parents that live in Lebanon. Another reason why Cyprus, because it's 20 minutes flight to Beirut. I'm hoping to go there once every month, once every 2 months. Unfortunately, the situation there right now is unlivable and the situation is becoming increasingly unstable. So I'm not sure if these plans will materialize, but I was there last weekend. I met the Oyster team there. We have 5-6 people in Lebanon, and it was great. It was great to meet them in person for the first time.
What roles have you hired for in Lebanon?
Very diverse. So we have one in product, two in finance, one in engineering, one in sales, one in learning and development. And there's diversity in everything we do. And if you know a bit of the context of the Lebanese society, it's very mixed when it comes to religion, as our team. We have Shiite, we have Sunni, we have Christian, we have Maronites, we have Druze. So we are very proud of the diversity we've created on every country, on every team level.
I think it's really great that you're hiring in Lebanon. At Lundy, we have a ton of recruiters in Lebanon from very diverse backgrounds. So super cool. Tony, what are you most excited about right now?
What I'm most excited about right now, Jonathan, is the massive shift that is happening in the world today to work from anywhere. That's going to certainly, in my view, enable a more equal world where people, no matter where they live, they can have access to the great job opportunities that we have access to in the West and developed cities and certain cities in the West. So that democratization of the opportunity will result in a massive equilibrium in terms of wealth and access to opportunity. Let me give you some data around that. According to BCG, there are 90 million jobs going unfulfilled in the Western world, and that data is pre-COVID. And the consultancy firm predicts $10 trillion economical loss in the next 10 years. At the same time, you have 1.5 billion knowledge workers coming into the workforce in the next 10 years, mostly in emerging economies. I know that you know Brian Kaplan, right? The economist who wrote Open Borders. And in his book, he's predicting that if you remove the concept of borders from labor and you create free labor mobility in the world, essentially you can increase the global economy anything from 50% to 150%, tripling the world economy. And we know the impact of economical growth on lifting people from poorer countries and poorer societies. So I'm very, very excited about how this acceleration in the shift to working from anywhere will have a noticeable impact in people's well-being and growth.
$78 trillion richer. That's the line, right?
Yeah.
Something like this. The first time we met, you held up that book, Open Borders, and I shared that we've used it in our sales process. How did you discover the author, Brian Kaplan?
Dan, who is our VP of Engineering, who was with me on the Oyster journey from day one, I was telling him about our vision and our mission and Oyster being a benefit corporation, focusing on closing the opportunity gap. And he said, you have to talk to Brian Kaplan. He's been following Brian for the last 10 years. He's a big fan of The Economist. And I reached out to Brian and I connected with him. We also invited him to our Oyster Ascent event that happened in mid-July. And Dan, our VP of Engineering, actually did a Q&A session with Brian, and it was a great moment.
In the past, to pursue an economic opportunity greater than where you are in the world, you had to move. And that's something that you've experienced personally. What's your story?
Yeah, I was born in Lebanon in 1980. The first 11 years of my life was the Civil War. And I was living near the borders or the Green Line between Beirut East and Beirut West. And I grew up realizing that this is the world I live in. It's really about people trying to kill people. And when I was 17, I had this unique opportunity to move to France and study computer science. And this is how I realized, actually, there's another world out there where there's more equality in terms of access to opportunity. Part of the values of the French is equality. I was deeply touched by that. Anyone, no matter where they come from, they can have access to the best universities. It's completely paid by the government. They even pay you a small salary. It was striking to me that there's a different world out there where there's access to opportunity, no matter who you are, where you come from. And I lived in another country. I lived in the US, I lived in the UK, I lived in Switzerland, among other places in the last 15 years. But what was important to me is the fact that there is some pain that comes with moving. It's not a free ride, right? So you have a lot of emotional and physical challenges. Essentially, when you look at immigrants, they are usually in poorer health than the locals. They really have trouble to adapt. Think about adapting to a new food system or adapting to a new culture and value system in society and having challenges to integrate. When I came to France, my first job after engineering school was not engineering. It was in sales and in France. And my results were impacted because my French wasn't perfect French. People could detect a very, very small accent. And that has actually penalized my efforts. So I've experienced the challenges of immigrating myself, and what a world that we could build where people don't have to do that. They can stay in their society, within their families, and they don't suffer that separation trauma, whether separation from your land, your family, your norms, your culture, and still be a very effective and growing part of the human species.
So let's talk about Nexmo. I read that you've hired employees in 45 countries. How did that experience lead you to create Oyster?
So Nexmo had to tap into the global talent pool because of our business model. So what we did, we put APIs on top of global carrier network infrastructure. Think about Vodafone, Orange, AT&T, and all these carriers around the world. And then so by design, we had to have people on the ground working with all these carriers around the world. And we also had to have sales and marketing on the ground in each of the major territories. So very early in the company history, we had to go global. As an entrepreneur leading global high-growth tech company, I really struggled to scale building a globally distributed workforce. But with all the good intention we had at the leadership team to create a great employee experience, we failed. We invested $2-3 million building an employment infrastructure, setting up entities, hiring lawyer, accountant, payroll provider, benefit providers. And it just didn't scale. It was a brutal experience for our team. And we had to redo it before we go public from a compliance standpoint. So I was looking for a solution. How can we solve this problem? When I left Nexmo, I took a year and a half off. And then I decided I want to start a new business. And I was more interested in how we're going to do the business than what the business was going to do. And one of the how component is to be globally distributed, because I was convinced that being distributed is powerful in terms of access to global talent pool, in terms of diversity. But I wasn't looking forward to the challenge that we face at Nexmo. So I started looking for a solution. But I didn't find a solution that can help me solve that problem. I found an industry called employer of record that operated more like professional services industry. Essentially, these are companies that enable you to employ people compliantly in other countries without need to set up entities. And that took you 3 months to set up. It cost over $20,000 a year per employee. And the employee experience wasn't consistent, you know, didn't like working with these players. So that industry wasn't really fit for what I was looking for, which is a global talent acquisition use case. It was fit primarily for a compliance use case. If you had 2-3 top executives you want to hire temporarily, you can use them. But that industry was a $17 billion industry. So it had all the characteristics, big market, highly analog, and highly fragmented. And this is how Oyster idea came from. It turned out that my company not only would be a distributed company, but it would build platforms to enable other companies to tap into the global talent pool. And that would be our mission.
So on tapping into the global talent pool, I think Nexmo is a great comparison with the telcos and putting an API layer on top of it. But the platform doesn't build your application. Nexmo was not building the application that was on top of the telephony layer, right?
Yes.
So how do you find talent to plug into the Oyster platform?
Yeah, today customers come to us, they already found the person they want to hire in a given country. But we also partner with talent acquisition players around the world that we can offer them to our customer through our partner ecosystem. And we personally, as Oyster, we tap into that. So we have a number of global agencies that we work with that can help us source diverse talent from any country. And our goal is to be not only diverse geographically as a company, but also on a team level. We want every team to also be dispersed, similar to the company. Today, we're in 40 countries. We are around 200 people in 40 countries, and we're probably going to be 600 people next year, hopefully in 80 country plus.
Wow, that's like half the world.
Yes.
All right. So why not build that global talent acquisition capability internally?
It is really hard to build a talent acquisition team that is expert in so many countries. So we need to rely on local talent acquisition experts to guide us through our talent acquisition journey in all these countries. Think about what do you consider to be a good university in Morocco? Or which country are good for certain talent, for PHP developers or for Ruby developers, for instance? Or which country is expensive or less expensive when it comes to paying employer taxes? Think about France, 45% on top of the salary, versus the UK, 15%. So suddenly it's for the same equivalent gross salary, you end up paying 30, 40% more just because of the variability of the employer taxes in all these countries. So there are some insights that global recruiters need to access in order to deliver on a global talent acquisition strategy.
So what's your biggest challenge on the talent side right now?
So challenge number one is we can't hire fast enough as many companies, in at least in technology. There's a shortage of talent and we have very, very aggressive objectives. We were 20 people in January. We are 200 people today and we're going to cross the 300 people before the end of the year. So because we're hiring masses, we always face a shortage of talent, specifically in areas of operation and R&D. Because as we build a hyper growth company, you want what we've learned. You need to grow ahead of our growth, specifically within operation or R&D. And that's number one challenge. The other challenge we face is specifically as a distributed company in 40 different countries, as we scale rapidly, you start having silos in the organization. So how do we go ahead of that and ensure that we create higher level of cross-functional collaboration? And as we grow really fast in a distributed fashion, so for instance, as we enter Q4, we reshaped how we do our planning, where we are deeper in understanding dependencies across teams. We assign multiple teams to each key results as we set our objective and key result process so we can create that collaboration. And the third challenge we face is really around people feeling isolated and stressed that comes with working from home or working from outside the office and alone. So we have created an operational dashboard that enables us to balance our growth with our employee well-being, and we can decide if we need to hire faster, if we need to automate faster, or if we need to slow down on some of the growth variables we have in order for us to hyper grow, but in a sustainable way.
So you have a dashboard which is balancing growth and employee well-being.
That's correct.
How do you manage employee well-being with such a massively distributed team? Everybody's all over the place. How do you lift them up?
So from a data standpoint, we looked at what are the leading indicator of stress. And we realized actually one leading indicator is a number of cases that one customer success manager manages. So we set a healthy threshold. And if you get closer to that threshold, then we look at how do we rebalance some of the other growth variables. Another KPI we're implementing is we measure the chatter outside the office hours. So every person, I call them office hours, but we don't have offices, essentially is the hours that you are supposed to work in. So every person in the company, in their Google Calendar and Slack setting, they have specific hours where they can be reached and work with. And we looked at on an individual level, obviously we aggregated on a score. We look at how many of these conversations are happening outside hours where they're supposed to work. And we want to minimize that variable. So yeah, this is how we measure the stress level and the well-being. And we obviously do the monthly survey where we take a heartbeat feedback from the team.
So what's your prediction for the next 5 years? Give me the entrepreneur's perspective. How do you think that recruiting for companies will change?
The biggest change I see happening in the recruitment space is this move from hiring in one country, sometimes in one city, to hiring globally. And that move from hiring locally to hiring globally comes with its challenges. As we discussed earlier, there is some challenge where as a recruiter that has built your career in one country, in one city, how can you gain very rapidly insight into global recruitment trends? Where to hire the best talent? What are the best universities to hire from in country X? What about compensation levels in all these countries? So there's a lot of knowledge and insight that a talent executive need to equip themselves with in order to succeed on that journey. The second challenge is really about compliance and employment. So this is why a platform like Oyster exists, is to make it easy and scalable and consistent for employers to onboard employees no matter where they are. And then thirdly, it's an onboarding challenge, right? How do you onboard people across countries and across time zones? How do you train them on remote work? How do you make them successful? How do you change your company, organization, and the way you operate in order to make anyone successful no matter where they live? That's a leadership challenge that needs to happen from the top.
Brilliant.
I'm very excited about the next phase of leadership in organizations. The pandemic have pushed many leaders for the first time to manage a distributed team. However, now as the world has already moved to that way of working, leaders have the opportunity to reshape their leadership style and make sure that they innovate on how they lead and how they manage teams. And in my experience, leading and managing teams, high-performance team in the last 2 years and before that at Nexmo, what I found it really difficult is really around building trust and relationship. It's harder. Building culture is harder, and getting stuff done is harder. And I spend a lot of my time thinking about, well, not only about what we're going to do as a company, but also how are we going to do it? And how can we build intentionally, part of our job as leaders, the ability to create trust and relationship faster and at a higher scale? How do we create a culture, adapt a culture that is result-driven and not presence-driven, that enable people to be successful? And how to be intentional about the tools and the rules we're going to use to get stuff done? That's an exciting phase of leadership, because every knowledge work in the next 10 years, eventually will become a remote work. So the better you become as a leader to lead distributed teams, the more impact we can make in your organization.
Tony, thanks so much for spending some time with me today.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me.
We'll hit this stop button. There it is.
Hold up.
Thank you so much, Tony. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend, your colleague, or your talent team. If you have questions you want me to ask in a future episode or issues that you want to know more about, connect with me on LinkedIn. I've added the link in the show notes. So, see you next week. Take care. All that. Bye-bye.